Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, I wanted to go ahead and have the announcements run this morning so we can see how much of our normal life has been displaced and shifted around, kind of as an illustration as we move into the message in just a moment. But there are going to be some things that we do creatively. Thank the Lord for technology. It's great when it works. It can really be a problem when it doesn't. And so we have this technology. In fact, on Sunday mornings, one of the things that we feature before we even come into worship is donuts. And so maybe you've had a donut at home. I think it's apt that I just thought a minute ago when I was praying, I closed my eyes. And because when we're looking at this camera, it's surrounded with a donut of light. And so I sat there in my chair, I closed my eyes and went to pray, and all I could see was a big donut in front of me, the after image. And so I'm going to continue looking, and I'm wondering if the rest of the day all I'm going to do is see donuts. I will assure you I will go through the drive-thru and pick some up if they're still open and I feel like having a donut later. But we're going to use this technology in creative ways, and this is open to the staff. And there's all kinds of things we're working on. We're creating a podcast area that we can do video logging as well as audio. And that's being created, a soundproof room that's going to be conducive to recording. I'm going to be rolling out, I'm hoping to have out a daily devotional. It may not be video, but just audio and available on the website and on Facebook site. I want to say at this time, thank you to Matt Lemon, who's working as an admin to myself, and he has been making sure the announcements are put together. He can come down here and work by himself, and Jennifer was out of school, so she comes and helps. I want to thank both of them for coming and printing out the bulletins, even though we didn't need them this week, and working on the announcements and getting information from me to be able to push out through text magic. And I just want to thank the Lord and thank Matt and Jennifer for being such a valuable help. And then going forward, being able to put these things on the website, I really appreciate their involvement in helping us to do that. So what we're going to be doing is making devotions. We can do possibly some Bible studies and some other things that is open to Pastor Cindy to come and to record, and maybe do some ladies' Bible studies by way of Facebook Live or by a video that's available on the website. Also, Pastor Steve, we won't have the seniors' ministries on Wednesdays 11, but we're working on this week, so be ready. All the seniors, you can tune in at 11 a.m. Facebook Live, the church Facebook page, on Wednesdays, and we're going to have his guitar slung on him. He's going to be singing some songs and having a devotion with you. So you're going to have to probably eat at home, but we can at least have some Facebook Live interaction. So you'll be hearing from Pastor C. This is available to Pastor Cindy for the Bible study, for the men's Bible study. We're just going to be putting out some devotional material, some study material, and we're going to try to do everything we can from our perspective to take advantage of audio and video technology to get to you. If you would like it, you can always click on it. If you're not interested, well, then Facebook can stay dark. And so that's your call. But we're looking at some creative ways to get that to you. I wanted to assure you of that today. The title of my message, I was in prayer early Thursday morning, and as I was in prayer, there was one of those divine interruptions where I was enjoying the presence of the Lord. And the general rule between myself and the Lord is I don't go to him and ask for sermons. I just go and get in his presence and enjoy my fellowship with him. And then he has a way of dropping something in my heart. And I just know when he has said something and dropped something in my heart. And as I was just enjoying him and basically focusing on his presence, I just felt like he dropped that thought in me, in my heart this way. It was a line from a lyric, whole lot of shaking going on. Jerry Lee Lewis and others recorded that song. And I'm not going to go too deep into the lyrics this morning because I think there's probably some questionable lyrics in there. But I want us to focus on the idea, the whole lot of shaking going on. I was standing in Walmart, and I had gone down several aisles, and I found out that my favorite bottled water, which is Ozarka berry-flavored mineral water, was gone. And I saw that all the toilet paper was gone. And I saw that some of our favorite snacks were gone. And I stood there and just all those empty shelves, and this was just a few days ago, and I thought, you know, this is going to shake, this is really shaking some people up. Now, it was a minor thing in the sense of, well, I'm not going to get to have my snack that I like. But I could see the look on people's faces. There was an intensity. They were very uptight. In fact, I noticed for the first time there were some security guards. There were some uniformed policemen present because of this unrest, because of this tension that was palpable in the air. Why? Because just over the last couple weeks, every one of us, everyone under the sound of my voice, every one of us, including me, have felt shaken. Something has rocked our world. It's interesting we use that term. Something has rocked our world. Something has gone off. There has been, some would describe it as an earthquake financially, that is global in impact. And so in the middle of that, I want us to consider and look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26 through 29. And it reads this way. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The word once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. It goes on to read, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. This was a great comfort as this idea of a whole lot of shaking going on was met with a scriptural admonition that just as quickly as I got that thought, a whole lot of shaking is going on, I was revisiting that passage in the book of Hebrews that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and therefore since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God. So I want to speak to you this morning and just kind of focus in, and if we just open our heart for the next couple of minutes, about this idea of shaking and this idea of how this is affecting us. How is this affecting you? How is this personally reaching down into the depths of who you are, and where is it that you feel shaken? How is it that you feel shaken? What kind of emotions are you experiencing? What's going on down in the depths of your spirit? What's going on down in the depths of your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions? What's even going on in your body? Because what's going on spiritually and what's going on psychologically often surfaces in what's going on physically. What is it that you're doing? What kind of behaviors are you involving yourself in? Because our body follows our spirit and our soul. And so I want us to drill down for just a minute upon this idea of things being shaken. Now I just first of all want to say, I would be so glad if we could go back and reset the clock and not go through this. This is a time of testing. This is a time of shaking. It's a time of, I much rather be looking forward to baseball, catching hockey if I want to watch it. Life as normal. Life as normal going on. Now, something that deeply affects our family because we've walked through this, and many of you have walked through this, is we saw a meme just recently that was reflective on the class of 2020. My daughter is a senior in school, Well, they're on extended spring break and going into distance education. In fact, somebody else said, not only are we all televangelists now, we ministers, but all parents are now homeschoolers. And so everybody is kind of being introduced to this idea of homeschooling, because our kids can't be at school, and it has to be accomplished through technology and them being with us. And so this is a shaking idea that's coming into our society. So one of those memes are, we're all homeschoolers now. All the pastors are now televangelists. And there is a thought about the class of 2020. It's rather sobering. And frankly, it's sad. And that is, 9/11 occurred when these kids were born. And this COVID-19 outbreak has affected everything with their life about graduation. So these are two events that have happened over these last 18 years, within two decades, that are global in impact and have changed our American way of life and has created a new normal. You can argue that there have been two massive earthquakes that have struck our society, have struck America, and one was on 9/11, 2001, and the other one was beginning in January or so in 2020. So we have in Scripture this idea of shaking, this idea of earthquakes, this idea of events happening that are major and shaking. So very quickly, there's three that came to mind as I was working through this in prayer, and that is, first of all, Exodus 19, verse 18. It's recorded there that the Mount Sinai shook. According to Exodus 19, 18, when God's glory came down, it says that the entire mountain shook and trembled. What kind of response do you think those people that were camped around that mountain had? If a mountain trembles, if a mountain shakes under the presence of God, I think that translated into really shaking up the people of Israel around the mountain. We find in Matthew chapter 27, verses 51 and 52, when Jesus cries out, "It is finished," and he cries that out upon the cross, it says that there was a great earthquake, and the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, and all of the graves of the holy ones, or the saints, became opened up. And later, when he raised from the dead, they were then seen by people within the city of Jerusalem. At the time of Christ's crucifixion, as he breathes his last, there is a great shaking of the temple, a great shaking of Jerusalem that forever changes Judaism, because the veil that screened everyone from the holy place, the holiest of holies, was now fallen to the floor, and it was totally revealed that God was not needing that place anymore for ministry. This was a earthquake, a shaking. There was a totally new normal in Jerusalem after that happened. Now we find in the book of Revelation, and we as a congregation, just a couple weeks ago, read through the book of Revelation, and I made the comment, how appropriate that we're seeing these events and then we're looking at the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 16, verses 17 through 19, we see a future shaking. And it says that there is a great earthquake in that city. It's divided in three parts. And then it says, and all the cities upon the earth fell flat. They were all shaken and they were all brought down by this future shaking that is going to come. Now, this is the future shaking that the writer of Hebrews has in mind. Seeing that all of this is going to be shaking, how should we live? Seeing that all of this is going to be threatened by an earthquake, or is going to be brought into question, what is going on in our life and what kind of stable life are we going to live? So here's three challenges that I see out of our time of shaking, and this also applies to those times that we see in Scripture of shaking. First of all, the first challenge, our way. Have you ever felt like you were losing your way, or you had lost your way? The way of our life, our way of life. And this is one of the big griefs that people are going to have to transition through is we did it at 9/11 and now we're doing it in 2020. How is this going to change? Is this going to affect our life from here on out? Or is this going to be momentary and it's going to all be over and everything's going to be fine? So this is a great challenge. What is the way of our life? Let's go deeper, more than just the American way. What about your way? What about my way? What is going on inside of me with and towards God? Is my way directed with God and towards Him? Or is it my way? One of those famous crooner songs by Frank Sinatra is, I did it my way. But the scripture warns us that there's a way that seems right to a man, and the end is the way of death. So this is a great challenge with this current shaking going on to ask ourselves the question, am I on my own way? Am I doing it my way? Am I getting it my way? Or like the old Burger King commercial, I think it was, have it your way. Or is this with God and towards Him? So when things are shaken, this gives us an opportunity to feel the challenge. Okay, whose way is getting done here? What way am I on? And what kind of way do I want to live? Here's another challenge. It's our focus. These kind of events have a way of getting people focused. It's not always the best kind of focus. People are sitting, listening to the radios, listening to podcasts, and zeroing in on television screens, and they're watching hours and hours and hours and hours of worst case scenario. I just want to caution you, Vision Church, don't spend hours and hours and hours drinking that in, because it will affect your focus. When a disaster happens, when a shaking comes, some people just want to focus on, like a laser beam upon that and get pulled into that. So we're going to have to be challenged now with this shaking. Where is my focus? Was my focus distracted and now it can become intense? And what direction is my focus? Is my focus upon COVID-19 and worst case scenarios? Or is my focus upon the Lord? We can hear the words of the psalmist when he says, I look to God. I look to the one above the hills of Jerusalem from whence comes my help. This is not a glance. This is a word that Jesus would use, would be behold. And what he's looking for, when you behold something, think of that person who takes the loops, I believe they're called, they're a jeweler, and they bring those loops down, and then they hold a diamond up, and they study it intently with great focus in order to appraise its value, and to understand and see its facets. That's what we need to have, not a focus upon the disaster, a focus upon the worst case scenarios, but a focus upon the Lord. Let's focus like laser beams in on Him. But that's a challenge. When things are being shaken, we can get distracted instead of focusing. I'm thinking of those disaster films where there's invariably somebody who's in an earthquake and they're needing help, and they're seeing everything crumbling around them, and somebody, the hero, usually The Rock or somebody like that, is reaching out his hands and he tells them, focus, don't look at anything else. Just grab my hand. And when he gets them to focus, then they grab his hand, and of course he's the hero, and every thing comes out great and it's wonderful, and everybody applauds at the end of the movie. We are finding ourselves in, so to speak, an aspect of a disaster flick. Things are going out ahead of us and we're not sure where they're going. But the question is, where am I focused? Am I focused upon the Lord? Am I focused upward? Am I focused intently, or is my focus on things? Is my focus on things that are dissipating, being destroyed, and falling to the wayside? Where's my focus? And then here's this, because I kind of alluded to it with the last point, and that is grip. What are you gripping, and what is gripping you? What are you gripping, and what is gripping you? This is a real thing that's revealed when stuff is falling apart and when our lives are being shaken. It lets us know, is fear gripping us? Is doubt gripping us? Is regret gripping us? Is it a sense of loss gripping us? And why is that going on? And at the same time, we can hear these words often by a person. This is kind of old, but this was a cool expression when I was a kid. Get a grip. We don't use that very often now. But when get a hold of yourself, man. Get a grip. Why do they need to use that when people are panicking, when people are under stress? There's a sense that they need to get a grip. Here's the key. What are you gripping and what has a grip on you? And we have an opportunity for the hand of the Lord to be displayed and for the hand of the Lord to be what we're getting a hold of and what we're allowing to get a hold of us. So that's three challenges that are going on in the midst of this whole lot of shaking going on. Now, there are some results that we can see also, and these aren't necessarily real positive results. But these are the results that happen in these three events in Scripture of what's going on in life and what can be exposed. Things, first of all, these results are of shaking is that idols are exposed. When the people of Israel were gathered at the foot of Sinai and it was being shaken, if they hadn't been nearly convinced before, they now had a sense that this God, Yahweh, He is awesome, He is great, and there is no one or nothing like Him. These were people who had lived for over 400 years. They had become a part of the culture of Egypt. Egypt had its grip on them. The way of Egypt had its grip on them. The thoughts of Egypt had a grip on them. They had lost connection largely with Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. They were still the tribes of Israel, but they had found themselves not only coming into disfavor and slavery, but they were surrounded with idolatry. They were surrounded by people who worshiped everything, had a God for everything. And then God came, Yahweh came, revealed Himself to them in the person of Moses as He shared with them about this great I Am, and they found everything that they had believed and understood and saw in their culture for 400 years utterly questioned and shaken by God Himself. Then they found themselves, after a great deliverance through the water, they found themselves at Mount Sinai with this revelation of His presence that shakes them. What does it expose in them? What does this do? It exposes their idolatry. It exposes what they tend to worship in their heart. Now, I'm just warning you, this isn't very comfortable, but it should be a process we're constantly going through. When there is a shaking, when there is a quaking, when there is an instability, when there is a challenge that comes into our life, the way the Lord can use that, even if He hasn't designed it, even if He's not behind it like He was with the people in Egypt, If it's merely political, if it's merely what's going on because of the choices of people, and it's rocking our world, we always have this opportunity for there to be a result in our life of recognizing, what am I tending to think is awesome or worship above God? And this exposes in the heart of a person idolatry. And this is an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit to reveal the idols in our life and for us to get rid of them, to throw them down, to grind them into powder, and to realize, really, I don't need that. Really, I can't rely upon that. So one of the great results for the people of Israel was idolatry. Some of you are saying, I know, I can hear it. What? Idolatry? That was back then, and that's over in the dark continents of the face of the earth amongst animistic people and others. No, every one of us, including your pastor, deals with idolatries that creep into our heart, something in which we trust, something in which we place value, that when it is shaken and revealed as being temporary, we feel loss or pain about it, and we feel like it leaves a hole in our life. I think one of the great secrets of Abraham's life was he had a way of holding on to things loosely and pursuing God. And so when these earthquake events happen in his life, he just simply let it go. He had a way of simply letting it go because he believed that God was more important than anything. He refused to be honored by the king of Sodom. He refused money. He refused all kinds of things because he thought he saw the strings attached to it, and his God was not the love of money. His God was Yahweh, was God. He wanted to worship him, and he didn't want anything to get in his way. So let this be a time, I know it's uncomfortable, but let this time of shaking be a time of the result of exposing an idol in your heart. Here's the great news. Idols can be repented of, confessed, and handed to the Lord, and he can smash them. And he can take away their effect from our life, and he can give us a pure heart. Another thing that's revealed is our heart is revealed. The true depths of our character, the true depths of our being, the result is that is revealed when this test comes. And so I want to encourage you to take heart, for your heart to be strengthened, to take the time that you have, you definitely have some time, to allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart and to bring in his light into your heart and show you the depths of your heart. Scripture tells us the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I'll add these words, and even your pastor's heart. I'm constantly under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit to confront aspects of my heart that are unlike his, and to release that, to repent of that, and to find transformation and change down in the very deepest recesses of the core of my being. So let this be a time of searching the heart. Let this be a time of revealing your heart, because as things are shaken, it's a perfect opportunity for the Holy Spirit, who is unshakable, to come and reveal your heart. And then, ultimately, this. When there's a shaking, foundations are challenged. Now, an island nation that is subject to a lot of earthquakes is the island of Japan. The engineers of buildings, and have you noticed, if you look at Tokyo, there's a lot of high-rise buildings, and you would think, why in the world would you build high-rise buildings when you're prone to earthquakes? What they have done is they figured out how to build foundations in such a way that they flex and move with the tectonic plate activity and vibrations so that the buildings sway, but they don't come down. So they put all of their engineering into dealing with the reality of earthquakes. So I have great news for you. If your foundation is in Christ, if your faith is in Christ, if you have put your life on the rock, which is Christ Jesus, then you have an unshakable, unchallengeable foundation. That's what you have. That foundation that faith has connected to the grace of God in Jesus Christ, and there can be no other foundation laid, the Apostle Paul said, than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Thank God for that foundation that we have been given. But we do have a challenge by this shaking. Is my life founded on Christ, or is my life being shaken and things coming apart at the seams? This is a telltale sign that it's time to check the foundation. And in just a moment, I'm going to have an opportunity to pray with you, and we can get back to that foundation. So there are three cures. We have three cures that are available, a threefold cure that's available during this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 lays this out for us very simply, and that is there are these three things, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love, agape love. So here's our cure. Reorient our faith. When we get shaken, which we do, every one of us have to deal with the shaking. This is a great opportunity to reorient faith. Now, I've lately been blessed with my friend Jack Watson, who is a pilot training to become a commercial instructor. He needs ballast, which means he needs somebody who weighs about 200 pounds to ride with him to represent the FAA inspector, so that all the things he does, he can do in similar conditions to when he's taking his test. Now, I love to fly, so I love to go flying with Jack. And I love Jack, so we have a great time. He's my prayer partner and an intercessor, prophetic intercessor. And so there's something that we constantly have to do, and that is there's a compass. There's two compasses. One is a compass that's hanging, oriented to the Earth's magnetics, And then there's another one in there that you can orient, and then you can put a marker on there to set your heading. Every time we go to fly, we have to reorient our heading to the compass. What a great picture. That is what we need to do constantly as believers. Reorient our faith and constantly ask this question. Who am I believing? Who am I trusting? Where am I looking? Where's my hope? Where am I believing? Is my trust and my belief and my confidence in the Lord? Or is it in my spouse or my family or the safety net or my check or my job or my retirement or the government? Friend, all of those are people and built out of human systems, and they're subject to a shaking that can take them completely down. But I've got great news for you. Nothing can shake Jesus. He is a foundation that is unshakable. We need to constantly be checking. Where am I believing? Where am I trusting? Where am I hoping? And great news, the Lord allows you to reorient your faith, to check it and reorient it and get you back on course. You can also renew hope. Renewed hope. What's hope? Hope is that thing that allows us to go into the future. That is that confidence in the sense of tomorrow is not going to end in complete disaster, but God is going to go with me into tomorrow, and He is unshakable, and so I have a hope and a confidence in tomorrow, and so I can face the future not with dread, but with hope. So it's a down payment on the future. Here's great news. God is timeless, yesterday, today, and forever. He's already been in the future. He already is in the future. He's there. You have nothing to fear. So let's extend hope in confidence in the Lord's provision in tomorrow. And then this one. Return to your first love. This is found in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, which we read just recently. When Jesus is speaking to the Ephesian church, and He has found that they are wanting when it comes to their first love. Something has rocked their world, has shaken them, and gotten them off course, and they are now away from His purposes, and right down into the depths of their heart, they have lost connection with their first love. That first priority of the love of God through Jesus Christ. And they're finding that love and then reflecting that love through their life. What does He tell them? He says, repent and go back to your first works, and so that you can reformulate that love in your heart. So you can have a work of God in you that will restore that first love. So I want to encourage all of us during this time. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. There may be continual aftershocks and things that we deal with as it comes through our society and comes through our financial systems and comes through all of that. But I've got great news for you. You can reorient your faith. This is a great time when you're being shaken to reorient your faith, to renew your hope in the Lord. Take it away from the other places it's invested and refocus it back upon the Lord. And more than anything, return to your first love. If you're a believer and you're feeling very shaken right now, it may be an indicator there's some things being exposed in you. Hey, you know what? My priorities haven't been like they needed to be. The Lord hasn't been number one. He's been down the list. He's been in on the other things, and I've been rather distracted. What a great opportunity right now to say, Lord, You allow me to refocus. You allow me to reorient myself in my faith. You will restore hope, and I will come back to You, my first love. So here's what I want to do before we close out. I just want to pray with you, just a very personal and simple prayer. And I can pray this with all my heart because guess what? I need to reorient my faith, renew my hope, and return to my first love every day. So we all can do that. Let's just bow our hearts together. Say, Lord, I just right now, I first of all pray for those who are feeling shaken and they're being drawn to this broadcast right now and they do not know You. They have no sense of a rock, no sense of a foundation, no sense of a beginning point, but right now, they can reach out to You and say, I believe, God, that You sent Your Son in human flesh, and He took my place, took my beating, took my punishment, and now offers to me eternal life and a new life and a new hope in You. I accept that offer and that gift right now in Jesus' name. You could pray that prayer and be born again. And I want to pray with you as a believer then, and say, Lord, as believers, we can sense the whole lot of shaking going on. Things have been shaken, are being shaken, and will be shaken. And what can happen in us is that we can respond to that and say, Lord, if it's you doing it, if it's the enemy doing it, if it's political systems doing it, if it's people that are doing it, if it's just natural, if it's supernatural, it doesn't matter, Lord. Whatever the cause, here's going to be the result. I'm going to reorient my faith in you. I'm going to renew my hope in you. And I'm going to return to my first love. Lord, we come and we just say, forgive us for trusting in other things. Forgive us for putting our hope in other things. Forgive us for finding pleasure and existence in other things other than you. Lord, we want to come back to the foundations. We want to come back to the beginning. We want to come back to the unshakable foundations that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray that with the confidence only in Jesus. I pray over this congregation, Lord, for your confidence, your peace, and your grace to be palpably felt in their homes as we continue forward on this journey in the confidence of your presence with us, for us, in us, and through us. And we ask that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great week. We're going to be in contact. Any way you need to reach out to us, we're here. We're pastoring. We're ministering. And we're going to go forward in faith. Grace and peace upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.